My apologies.
However, the delegation being led by the Deputy Director General, Dr. Mampo, together with colleagues, three chief directors, are indicated in the letter. Thank you.
Yes, a written apology from the Director General and the DPG and the rest of the team is present here, as indicated in the letter. Can we accept that letter? Honourable members, that brings us to point three, election of the chairperson, Honourable Modara.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just on the agenda, may I move that we defer the first session, which is the election of the chairperson, to a later date in the third term to be communicated to members. Thanks, Chair.
There is a motion put forward. Honourable Monakeri.
I second the motion, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Monakeri. Nothing else? Thank you, members. That will be then dealt with in the third term. Our first meeting will be, if I'm correct, the 1st of August. That's Wednesday. The 31st is a Tuesday, July. Honourable members, we've gone through a whole process in phases. Phase one was the fiscal framework and revenue proposals as part of the national budget, which was adopted. The second phase was the Division of Revenue Bill, 76 legislation, which we also took to our nine provinces. Provincial legislators having conducted public hearings, public participation, brought back with negotiating and final mandates been adopted in the NCLP, and now we are at phase three where budget votes has been presented to select committees and debated in the House, and today we are concluding the whole process, phase three, where we deal with the appropriation bill as the bill, and which will then be tabled in the NCLP on the Motara, if I'm correct, on the 28th of June. And that meeting, that assembly starts 10 o'clock in the morning. National Treasury, welcome. Mrs. De Bruin, Dr. Modise, Mr. Wilcox, and Mr. Gandele. Welcome. It's a strong team from the National Treasury. And when members, you enter National Treasury's building in Pretoria, you feel the gravitas. You feel, you get the feeling, yes, excellence, yes, expertise. And we commend you for the work you do at the National Treasury, and world rated number one in terms of budgeting alongside New Zealand. Yes, so keep it up. Over to the team, you can decide who leads the discussion, that you take us through the presentation. All the members, here's a research document. Where is it? That was also given to us, an analysis, all the figures. Interesting to look at the allocations for those departments that is enhancing or supposed to enhance economic development, economic growth. Just take note of that. Dr. Modise, you and your team. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, and honorable members. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do the presentation to you this morning. I must say, Chair, thank you for the kind words. We have had a rough time, I must say. It's always so humbling to hear very good perception of the National Treasury, so thank you so much for that. We have circulated a presentation as part of our briefing, and I think what we tried to do was just to summarize the key points of the appropriation bill so that you have a good feel of what's in the document. But the entire document is, it can be accessible, of course, and more details would be in the document. So, Chair, please allow me just to go through the summary of the Appropriation Bill 2018, and then we can have a discussion. So the first thing we thought it was important for honourable members to start off the conversation with would be what was in the budget 2018, what is the summary of the budget. I am certain that by now you would have received the summary, but it's always good to just reflect back on what was in the budget. So the first thing was that we had a big gap that we had to fill. Revenue was not as what we expected it to be. There were a lot of spending pressures, and as a result, our debt management strategy had to change. As a result of that, through Cabinet, of course, there was a decision that we will increase or introduce new tax measures that added 36 billion in 2018-19.
Sorry, can you speak closer to your mic?
Oh, I'm trying not to hit it. Is this better? Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Some of us, but old
days. I will take notice of that. So as I was saying, the first thing that we did was to introduce new tax measures that amounted to 36 billion. The biggest ones that are noticeable, of course, would be the higher VAT rates that increased from 14 to 15%, but also the increase in the fuel levy was one of those taxes that we looked at. Of course, we tried to make the taxes as progressive as possible, but the 36 billion is coming from those. We had expenditure reductions, basically mainly through reprioritization, so we managed to come up to 85 billion of reductions in all the three spheres, which is national, provinces, and local government. However, we allocated an additional 57 billion for fee-free higher education, but I'll go into details on where we allocated some of the funds. We had an addition to the contingency reserve of about 10 billion, and this was mainly due to the persistent drought that we're experiencing as a country, and we thought that it would be good to increase the contingency reserve because at that time we didn't know what the impact was going to be. And we had other adjustments in terms of spending, and those will be the national health insurance and 6 billion, which we thought should be allocated or provisionally allocated for drought and other public infrastructure that is supported by the budget infrastructure or budget facility for infrastructure. So these are just some of the key highlights of the budget. With those measures that I discussed in the first slide, it meant that the budget deficit, which is the difference between the revenue and the expenditure, would be 4.3% of GDP in the current year, which is 18-19, and that will be gradually reduced to 3.5%. And this means that the debt will be stabilizing at 56.3%, but that can only happen in 2020-2023. Now, despite these fiscal efforts, we still borrow around 2 billion rand per year over the MTF to deal with the budget deficit that we have, but also to deal with the redemptions of our debt. So we're still borrowing quite a lot despite these efforts to lower or to close the gap in the budget deficit. We remain with a very promising fiscal framework, but of course there are risks to the framework, and the first one would be the uncertainty around the economic growth outlook. As honorable members would remember, the first quarter growth was a contraction that was much bigger than what we expected, and we're hopeful that that is not persisting, because if it does, then it means we might see lower revenue. We have the wage pressure that is also going to affect our budget, but what is also worrisome and what we're trying to deal with at Treasury and as government as a whole will be the finances of our state-owned companies. Now, with these things, the macroeconomic framework, the fiscal framework, as well as the division of revenue proposals across the 3 years have been tabled in Parliament the day the Minister presented the budget review. So what are we doing here today? We are here to present to honourable members the appropriation bill. So basically, as the country, we have the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which was introduced in 2009, and this requires that after tabling the national budget, we have three things that we have to do. So Parliament must, within 16 days, submit a report to the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces on the fiscal framework and the revenue proposal. The second step would be the division of revenue, which must be passed no later than 35 days after the adoption of the fiscal framework by Parliament. And today we are here to look at the appropriation bill, which should be passed with or without amendments within 4 months after the start of the financial year. And this means the appropriation bill should be passed by the 31st of July 2018. What is in the appropriation bill? Basically, this is a legislation that provides for the appropriation of money by Parliament from the National Revenue Funds, and this is in terms of Section 213 of the Constitution and some of the acts in the PFMA. Now, what the appropriation bill does is that the spending is subjected to the PFMA and provisions in the appropriation bill itself. So the departments can only spend what is appropriated in the bill. So by law, they can only spend what is appropriated by the bill, and this is done through Parliament. So Parliament decide what departments or how much departments can spend. Now, for transfers to sub-national government, the division of revenue is also contains some of the provisions in terms of which spending must take place. So all of the spending in government happens through the different bills that are appropriated or are approved by Parliament. Now, what the appropriation bill means is that prior to it being approved in Parliament, department can only incur spending in terms of Section 29, which makes provision for spending before an annual budget is passed. So up to end of July 2018, the expenditure may not exceed 45% of the 2017-18 financial year annual budget. So they can only spend less than 45% before the bill is passed. If they're not allowed to spend more than that, which makes it quite urgent to make sure that we go through the whole processes and pass the bill. And it is very necessary to pass the Appropriation Act, and this is because it will allow for monthly expenditure above the transitional provision, which is contained in the PFMA, but also it will ensure in accordance with the vote and program purpose as stated in the Act. Now, what is the structure of the bill? Basically, the bill is divided by vote and by main division within a vote. So basically, we're looking at the programs and we're looking at transfers and subsidies to national departments within a vote. The purpose is set out for each vote. So if you look at the entire appropriation bill, you will find the purpose of each vote, the program, the transfers and subsidies to all national departments which are within the vote. We categorize the bill in terms of current payments so that it is easy to read. So you can see the current payments. You can see compensation of employees, you can see goods and services, rent and interest, transfers, payments for capital assets, as well as payment for financial assets. We think there's such a structure helps in terms of analyzing and assessing where the different funds will be going to in terms of the different votes. Now, we also have a very thick document which is an explanatory memorandum of the bill, and it contains all of this information, and it can be accessible in the Treasury's website. The one that is on the website has even more details than the big ones. So we try by all means to make sure that the information is available publicly and all the members and the society can access the information. Budgeting, although we're trying very hard to do good budgeting, we're still not there yet. We aspire to make sure that the input or we care for measuring value for money. So the whole point is that at the end we should be able to say this 1 rand has actually contributed 2 rand in terms of the outcome. In order to do that, what we are trying to work on and we've been working on for quite a while is that we have objective-based program structures, and this will help us strengthen the link between budget and service delivery. We have activity-based costing, especially of the sub-programs, so that these will support programs and outcomes objectives. We must continuously reform to improve the links between budget and service delivery performance, but also we must just link the medium-term strategic framework to strategic plans and annual performance plans of the different departments as well as the budget. Now, Chairperson, as you said when we started, is that the main budget allocations amounted to 1.5 trillion. And of this, basically the current payments amounted to 27% of the total. Compensation of employees amounted to 11% of the total, but I just think I need to explain this a bit. So the compensation that is here is for the main budget allocations. The amount that we transfer to provinces and local government will be under transfers and subsidies, where the share of the total is 71%. So the compensation of provinces is still part of transfers and subsidies. So it doesn't mean that overall national government or consolidated government compensation is only 11%. This is how the bill is structured, and everything that we transfer to provinces comes up as transfers and subsidies. So the 30% or the 35% that we refer to in the book also considers the reclassification of subsidies and transfers to provinces in terms of this economic classification. But what one knows is that the debt service cost at 180 billion still accounts for a large percent, 12% of the total share. And the one thing that we need to start working on and improving is payments for capital assets, and currently they account for just 1% of the total transfers. When you look at the way in which the appropriation bill is structured, we thought it would be more beneficiary for us to focus on the big department spending in terms of the different items. So what we did was we only looked at departments that are accounting for over 80% of the different categories. So this slide is like 12. It just looks at the compensation of employees according to the departments that contribute or account for 82% of the total budget. And that can be expected. Police, defense, correctional services, justice and constitutional development. So the services departments will definitely account for much more compared to other departments. So those security departments are accounting for a very large amount of compensation of employees, and these are followed by higher education and training. And basically, in higher education and training, the biggest contributors there, as in bullet two, would be the TVET and the CET college lecturers across all different provinces, because these form part of the department at national government. Then we have allocations to goods and services. As you can imagine, the security cluster will definitely form part of the list because they have the largest employees, therefore they will definitely have goods and services. But they spend most of the goods and services on computers and fleet services, and that would be the police. Defense is more on contractors. And then if you're looking at correctional services, most of their goods and services go to nutritional services for inmates and property payments. Computer services, lease, operating lease, and property payments, that will mainly be for justice. then you have basic education, where the largest portion of their goods and services is spent on printing and distributing workbooks for grade R to 9 learners, and this happens at about 23,000 schools. In home affairs, the major item on their goods and services would be the system modernization program, while DECO spends a lot on their goods and services budget on operational expenses for their foreign missions and also for the unitary fees as well, since these are now part of goods and services. For community works program, is financed under the DECO goods and services. That explains why DECO would be on the list. And for health, the NHI indirect grant, as well as the health facility revitalization program, constitute the major component of their goods and services, while for rural development and land reforms, over 50% of their goods and services budget is for consultants on the restitution claims, as well as operating lease. Now, in terms of subsidies, as I explained before, the biggest departments that will have these transfers would be the national department. I'm just trying to see. Okay, so that will be slide 15. So the main departments with the largest share would be Treasury, that has the equitable share, social development, higher education and training, culture, as well as transport. But I think the next slide shows it much better, yes. So in Treasury, the largest share of the transfers and subsidies goes to the provincial share, so that will be the equitable share, and it accounts for 93%, while the grants to local government will account for 3% of the total. And if you're looking at social development, there's a very small portion that goes to provinces, but mainly the social development goes to social grants, social services. Then for higher education, as I said, these are mostly for TVET colleges, and they're not distributed in provinces and local government, while for COFTA, the equitable share for local government would constitute about 98%, and the provincial share will quite be small, less than 1%. And for transport, we have a lot of grants that are shared between the two spheres, but most of it, 29%, will go to the provincial share, and local government will only get about 11% from transport. So mainly, these, as I spoken about them, Treasury will be the equitable share in some of the small things, but I just want us to focus on the grants for now. So for transport, the South African, so Sandal gets about 15.6 billion, Prasa about 18.8 billion, provincial road maintenance grants received is 11 billion, public transport operation grant 6.2, public transport network grant 6 billion. So most of these transfers go to the different spheres of government, but some of them, of course, will go to the national department or to the national public entities. Now, when we're just looking at which entities receive the largest grants in terms of the main budget, you can have a look at this slide, which is slide 18, that shows you the three types of public entities that receive grants. The first ones will be the constitutional institutions, where the largest grant recipient would be the Independent Electoral Commission with 61%, followed by the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa with 14%, and the Public Protector of South Africa with 10%. So these are the percentages as a share of the 3 billion, not in terms of, not as a share of overall total. So just the share of the category total. Then you have the big national public entities, where the biggest one will be the National Student Financial Aid Scheme with 22 billion. The SANRAL will receive 15 billion, then the different cities consolidated will receive about 14 billion, and then the list goes on. Then we have the last category that we look at in terms of the appropriation bill, and that will be national government business enterprises, and the biggest one, of course, will be PRASA, as well as the CSIR with 5%. Then another classification that we look at, that will be slide 19, would be payment for capital assets, where the main recipient of this category would be police at 26%. That is 26% of the total. You have water and sanitation, 25, basic education, 9, and justice and constitutional development, 8, health, 7, and defense, 6%. So the main idea here, or the main use of this category of spending, would be building infrastructure such as refurbishment and rehabilitation of police stations, of courts, and all things in terms of the security cluster. Then you have large capital budget for police, which is also provided for transportation equipment, about 1.87 billion. You have water and sanitation, where the biggest contributors will be the regional public infrastructure grant, which is close to 3 billion, and you have the water services infrastructure grant, which is just over half a billion. For basic education, 99% of their spending on capital assets is for the school infrastructure backlog grant, and then while for health, as I said, it's for health facility revitalization program, and that's close to a billion. In the appropriation bill, there are other items that are marked specifically and exclusively in Schedule 1 or 2 of this Act, and these items may be used only for the purpose indicated unless the amount of purpose is amended by an Act of Parliament. And the reason why you have these items is just to make sure that the spending is directed to specific purposes, and departments don't have the power to change that, and only Parliament can change that. And those will be all conditional grants from national to provinces and to local government. If there's a change in the spending, Parliament has to approve that first before it can be changed. Compensation of employees, all the compensation that is linked to capital projects, all funding allocated to departments that are within a specific vote, funding for all constitutional institutions, social grants, and we have other commitments that bind the national revenue funds, such as programs in PASA and also the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Program tariffs based on the 2015 new dispensation. Coming to the largest positive reallocation and funding additions, so despite the reductions of 85 billion over the MTF, there were funds that were reallocated to other programs that were deemed to be essential and crucial. And these programs basically were, first one, basic education. There was an additional allocation of 1.5 billion for the school infrastructure backlog grant, and this is basically to complete the current projects that are ongoing. For health, we allocated for national health insurance. For human settlement, it was over a half a billion to the title deed restoration grant for the title deed backlog that they have to push through. For social development, we had to allocate funding for the year to assist the social grant recipients to offset some of the impact of the new tax measures. For economic development, we added 240 million, and this was for the Teresano Construction Trust Fund, while for home affairs, 180 million was reallocated to them, and this was to the Independent Electoral Commission for the 2019 national government election. And I think the biggest allocation that we've seen in the 2018-19 or in the 2018 appropriation bill was the 57 billion over the MTF that was allocated for higher education. And for this year, of that 57, 12.3 billion will be allocated this year. And basically, these are funds for NXRs to fully subsidize higher education and training for poor and working class students, as announced by the president. And this amounts to 7.2 billion there's another 2.7 billion for TVET colleges in terms of subsidizing or subsidies refurbishing of these TVET infrastructure as well as starting operations at three new TVET campuses. Over the MTF, this amount is 11.1 billion. And I think most important is that after the MTF, some of these allocations will continue depending on how far we are as government in implementing the proposals by the president. And the last one would just be the 2.4 billion that is allocated for university subsidies. And over the MTF, this amounts to 11.3 billion. Chairperson, this is the summary of the appropriation bill, and we hope that we have captured the essence of the bill, but I think we can definitely have a discussion. Thank you.
Any additions from the rest of the team? None? Thank you. Members, questions? What we have in front of us was debated for the past 3-4 weeks. I see Honourable Essex's hand. Essex. Honourable Shibangu, Dr. Blanche. No one else. Honourable Essex.
Thank you, Jefferson. That's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the presentation. Much has been said and debated about this, as you've mentioned, in the last four or five months, so it's been to and fro. But nevertheless, I just thought I'd raise, you know, in your opening remarks on the, I think it was slide three, in the background, and you alluded to the fact that a lot, of course, seems to be riding and dependent on what happens with the GDP, etc., and this would, you know, have an effect, either positive or negative, for the fiscal framework going forward. Now, maybe your comments in terms of, you know, we had a drop in the growth numbers in the last quarter, which just was announced some 2 weeks ago. What is National Treasury's reaction to that in terms of what we're presenting here today, if you can capture that one. And then quickly, Chairperson, there was some optimism, but never mind, that's great, it's always good to be optimistic. And then I just wanted to allude to slide number 11, if I may. The debt service costs, obviously, are, in my opinion, ridiculously high. Now, Should the GDP somewhat be adverse in the next 6 to 12 months, what is your opinion in terms of having to deal with debt service costs? So it's obviously bleeding our fiscus, and if you look at what's happening with your numbers in the police, etc., I just wanted you to express your opinion. Should there be an adverse or a negative result in terms of our growth, how are we going to address the debt service costs? Because we're looking at another 6 months' time moving towards the next financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Shimangu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation that was given to us. But I've got only a few questions with regard to money allocated to BRASA and other entities. They are getting a lot of money. But in fact, there is a lot of cash injection that is given to them to boost them, but instead there is nothing that is brought back as a profit. How are you going to monitor this? then the grant going to local government. I would also love to know how are they monitored in order to have stability, not to have wasteful expenditures like is usually happening each and every year. Then transport, 11% is allocated to local government, public transport. I'm of the opinion that is a very small chunk of money, taking into account that most of our people are poor of the poorest, and petrol is persistently going up each and every month now. Then free higher education. When is the allocation going to be given out? Because at the present moment, most events, colleges, especially in Putadichab, six of them are closed down as I'm speaking to you, because there are no funds. At one stage, it was found that only 300 rand was put in the account of the student. Could you please help? Thank you very much.
Robert Shibangu, you said six TVET colleges was closed down.
Yes.
Did I hear it correct? Can you give more detail to the committee? You can do it in writing to the secretariat, because I think this is a very serious issue.
Yes.
Thank you. How about the Blanche?
Chairperson, thank you. A lot has been said. I'm just on slide 11, please. My concern is, you know, the 1% payment for capital assets, you know, that's the first thing. Obviously, if you want to grow the economy, you need to start, you know, investing in infrastructure. And then the last part of that, Chairperson, I just want to raise some concerns about, you know, our roads. Roads, transport in this country. We will have to, you know, just pay some attention to that also. Thank you.
Honorable Gaila.
Thank you. No, Chairperson, it's just clarity. Speaking question. Slide 21, 240 million for Tourist Plano Construction Fund. Can you just explain us on that one? What is that fund for? Then, only clarification question. Slide 14, yeah, is it? The consultants for restitution claims. There's not much on the restitution. One would like to know, Chairperson, why we have to pay so much for consultants. I think we've raised that on various meetings. There is not much. There's no, really nothing at the institution. So one would like to hear to that. Then on the bulk infrastructure fund for roads, yes, the money is there, but on the ground there's nothing happening. But I think they cannot answer it, the provinces. But is it worth it throwing money away? That is a question that I have. Why do we have to throw money away? Because it takes years money. Thank you.
Thank you, all the members. Just coming back to the Free State. The reason I ask for the detail that we interact with our colleagues in the select committee dealing with higher education, for them to go deeper into that issue, maybe we can do it jointly. we must also be mindful of the expenditure ceiling of 87 billion rand over 3 years. That's got a real effect on the budget, and also be mindful of the programs His Excellency the President is putting in place to task our envoys to go and engage with investors and potential investors to come and invest in South Africa. Also, the reality of the negative growth in the first quarter of 2018. So we, all of us, got work to do. It's not only government. Us, we as well. You may reply to the questions. Thank you.
I think we're going to start at the end, if you don't mind, very honourable members. So, in terms of the Tirisano Fund, that was a result of the construction cartel. So there were two legs to that. The first leg was that there was a penalty levied by the Competition Commission on the construction company. And then the second leg was a settlement between the construction cartel and the state, because the state was actually the aggrieved party in most of those transactions. So the agreement was, as part of that agreement, the construction companies agreed to pay to establish a 1.5 billion rand fund to carry out, to improve empowerment and transformation in the construction industry. And what they're doing at the moment is they're paying 150 million rand a year into the National Revenue Fund, and then that money is reappropriated through to the Department of Economic Development. The Tirisana Trust is established and it will be run by the IDC to carry out projects to, as I said, to increase transformation and empowerment in the construction industry. So that's the first one.
If we wanted to find out any progress about the fund, is that we have to call an IDC. Would that be the case, Jefferson? Because that fund is supposed to be assisting the emerging contractors. So when you go on the ground, you don't see anything. Do we have to call IDC to find out what happens with that fund? That's all the clarity that I want from you. Thank you.
Yeah. It might be better to call the Department of Economic Development.
That will come out when, in the period when Parliament deals with the BRRR process. You pick that up in the annual reports of departments. That's where you pick it up in the financial statements.
Yeah.
That's where you get it.
Yeah, well, Department of Economic Development and IDC, and we also ask that the fund also produces its own annual report as well, so that we can monitor it properly.
Dr. Modise? Any other replies from you?
Thank you, Chief. I think some of the questions as honourable members' comments also on. If you will remember correctly, the National Treasury only does high-level oversight. So an accounting officer in a department is responsible for the spending of all the money that's in the appropriation bill. So in terms of, let's say, local government grants, if a department like cooperative governance has the grant, it is the responsibility of the accounting officer to monitor that grant. It is the responsibility of the accounting officer to make sure that the grant is used for its intended purpose. There's provisions in the Division of Revenue if things are not happening in one place to withhold money and move it to another place based on criteria, so that the money doesn't get lost. I think one of the other honourable members talked about you've got the money but it doesn't always get spent because there may be some problems with capacity in a particular place. So from the National Treasury side, we just do a high level oversight, but it's really accounting officers' responsibility to them. But where we can see that there are problems, so we don't come to this committee on the budget. We come on a quarterly basis to talk about the expenditure in terms of the appropriation bill to the standing committee on appropriations. So we monitor on a monthly basis how much departments have spent, and we have an idea, let's just say, for argument's sake, there's 12 months in a year. If you had 12 million rand, maybe you would spend a million. So if you only spend 500,000, we could see that you're not spending. Then it is my responsibility as a treasury to ask the accounting officer that question. What is going on here? Why isn't the money flowing? Is there a problem? Can we help you? But the ultimate responsibility for that expenditure lies with the accounting officer. So my job is to alert, and we obviously go through stages of alerting. So it could go all the way up from our minister into the other minister. We try and do unblocking. You would have had IGR here many times as to how we try and do the unblocking. And one of the areas that we do try and do a lot of unblocking is on the capital side, infrastructure, how to get infrastructure projects going. So in the IGR unit, the infrastructure specialist. In our office of the OCPO, we also infrastructure supply chain management specialist, and we try and help departments do those unblocking of what the problems might be. So in that space, one of the honourable members asked about consultants a lot. It depends on which department you're in. So you can complain about consultants if they are in a department that doesn't do infrastructure. But if you're in water affairs, the consultants there are engineers that you require in order to get the water project. So you don't want to be cutting those consultants. You want to be looking for those other ones that provide advice, not actual. So it would be on a case-by-case basis. This is the first time I hear about the colleges that are closed on Lo Shivambu. So I'm also taken aback by that. I would have thought that would have been in the news, but we can ask the Department of Higher Education and Training what is going on, because it is the 57 billion chair, and if it's not moving, of the 57 billion, 11 billion was just for TVET colleges alone, so that should move. Then in terms of I think also Honourable Swambo asked about why do we
order,
not make
order. Focus on the reply, please.
Profit. I think we also are hoping that the state-owned companies would make a profit, because then instead of us having to put a set aside money and worry about them, as Dr. Medici said in his presentation in the beginning, we would be able to get some dividends. So it's also concerning that is in fact not the case. And again, in terms of oversight of the entity, the entities will report to the executive authority. So in Prasa's case, the executive authority there is the Minister of Transport. So we also want to be further removed from those entities in terms of our oversight. Also at a high level, we also get quarterly expenditure reports from them, which we will take selected ones to the Standing Committee on Appropriations. And then just to say, Chair, remember the Appropriation Bill is only looking at national departments. So when you look at the composition of expenditure in terms of the 1% for capital, it's because a lot of national departments do policy making, regulation and oversight. They don't actually deliver services. So the services are delivered in that category. I don't know if you can just go back, Mampo, to the category you show the transfers and subsidies. I think it's right in the beginning. One before that. The 11% and the 1% the Honourable Member talked about. Sorry, Chief. in that 1 billion in transfers and subsidies, included in there will be the transfers to PRASA, which is capital. So it's just because when we classify it in the first round, it's classified as a transfer. But when it gets spent, it's capital. So we could work out in that transfers and subsidies exactly which proportion is capital, and we could add it to the payment for capital assets line, and then it would be more than 1%. So it's just a classification thing in terms of what is it looking like in the national box.
Yes, Chair, I would like to respond to the first two questions on the low growth and the debt cost. I think so far, of course, the contraction in the first quarter of 2018 is worrisome, but in the fiscal year, we only have 2 months of revenue that we have collected, and these 2 months are not the big months in terms of revenue collections. Honourable members, the biggest month in collection in terms of revenue would be March, June, September and December. So we will see when we get closer to the medium term budget policy statement what the impact of the first quarter growth outcome would be on the expected tax revenue. And once we have a good idea, then we will measure the impact. In terms of debt service costs, the biggest problem is that if we don't realize what we said we will realize, then we have to relook at the fiscal framework, and there's different ways in which government looks at the fiscal framework, but it will definitely be a problem because even now already we have squeezed a lot of money. The 85 billion, if you think about it, is quite a big amount of money to reduce your spending by, although it was reallocated. But if growth does not come as expected, then definitely we have to consider other consolidation measures. As Julia said, in terms of looking at the public entities, I think the one thing that I want to add there is that for PRASA, because PRASA was not spending as expected, we, National Treasury and, of course, the Department of Transport, reduced the expected transfers to PRASA. So for the year, we reduced those transfers by over 3 billion. So when we do the monitoring and we work with the departments, of course, we do identify those things and we do react, or we do try to resolve the matter. If you look at the 2017-18 total spending at the main budget level, you will see that we have seen a lot of underspending, which was over 7-8 billion, and most of that is coming from the fact that we reduce transfers to partners. So we do monitor these institutions, and through the different departments we take action in terms of how we can help a institution spend the money that is allocated to. I think that's it.
I just want to come back to the question on the consultants. So that's consultants for rural development. The restitution allocation is about 3.3 billion rand a year, and consultants are 85 million rand of that. That the consultants are used to establish the validity of restitution claims. So mostly historians, and they go and research when there are claims, whether the claimants have a valid right to, or whether they were in fact resident on the land that they're claiming. As far as I understand, the department is aware that they're spending too much on consultants. They have tried to use, they are moving towards other sorts of methods of using consultants. At the moment, they're using a consultant on every claim. So what they're trying to do is move towards using consultants in broad areas rather than, so for instance, if they're within a region, if there are 10 claims within the region, they'll rather have one consultant who could establish the validity of all of those claims. And, we hope that that's going to cut down on the use of consultants.
You're done? Thank you. One of the members mentioned wasteful expenditure, irregular, unauthorized expenditure. On Tuesday, the 26th, the Select Committee for Finance will be dealing with the Public Audit Amendment Bill. It's a very, very important piece of legislation, giving the Auditor General more powers to crack down on this. that will assist Parliament as well. That will assist Parliament. You'll get the briefing. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I'm very excited about that legislation. Yes. In the first Parliament, there was the Sian Samanji program run by DBSA. It was a cluster of expertise, also technical people, engineers, and that program was then shifted to the National Treasury. Question is, what happened to them? Because everyone is looking for expertise in municipalities, engineers, fitters and turners, and you name it. There was such a program, and we must go and see what happened to them. To Kokta, Dikok. That's where they went. Yes, that's where they went. That's where they went, not Treasury, to Dikok. Honorable Gaila?
One would also like to know what happened to the National Tender Board.
The National Tender Board. Are you in a position to say something about that?
Now I'm going to show my age. The National Tender Board was soon after 1994. The National Tender Board does not exist any longer. So that was the centralization, and the tenders were run from one place.
Yeah.
When the PSMA came into being in 1996, the accounting officers took that responsibility. 1999. Each accounting officer is responsible for that. What we have now in the Treasury is what is called the Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, which has some of those roles of the National Tender Board. So they run the transversal tenders across departments.
Thank you. You're done? Thank you. Cover. Brilliant. The message is root out corruption. Yes. Parliament is very clear about that. Parliament is very clear about that. We won't allow that. Honourable members, that brings us to the end of this briefing. Lubabalu, you've got the report here. What is this? What? Honourable Shibangu. Also be given to the chair of the select committee dealing with higher education. Yes. Honourable members, we have now received our briefing on the appropriation bill. Now the report is a very short one. The select committee on appropriations, having considered the appropriation bill, B3 of 2018, referred to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanism as a Section 77 bill, report that it has agreed to the bill without amendments. I put the report to the committee. Thank you. Honorable Issa?
Just add that the Democratic Alliance deserves its position.
That sentence is somewhere here in my papers. I wrote it already. Noted. Honorable Motara.
Thanks, Chair. I move that the committee adopts the report. Thank
you. There's a mover for adoption of the report. Can I get a seconder? Honorable Shabam. Honorable Zamandi. Excuse me. Sorry. Noted. Noted. Honorable Zamandi, your hand was up. Honorable Zamandi from KZN seconds the adoption of the report. Honorable members, that concludes that report on the appropriation bill. We're going to consider the minutes now, so we will release you. You don't need to stay longer. Maybe get home earlier. And thank you very much. We appreciate your presentation. And travel safely, especially when you hit the ground in Gauteng. Yeah. All the members, we release them. They can have a cup of tea outside. Here's a set of minutes. Order. Order. Here's a set of minutes. The 13th of June. The 13th of June. Yes, he's handing it out. All the gala, please be seated for 5 minutes.